Right, we're going to begin. Today's daf is Kuf Mem Daf. We're going to begin Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda Stamos. We'll say again. If you remember, an exciting machlokes in this Mishnah, an exciting machlokes deals with Schitas Peros. Deals with the situation of what happens if the Mishnah makes a statement and says Im Sochatin Es HaPeros Lo Tzim Mehen Es HaMashim. You obviously can't squeeze fruit in order to extract the juices. That's the malacha of dosh, the malacha of threshing. However, the interesting discussion comes up of what happens in Yatsu Me'atzim. What happens if the juices come out of the fruit by itself? Then what is the status of those particular juices? So this was a machlokes in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, if the fruit was set aside to be eaten, not to be squeezed, then the juices got to be a better word than leak. Ooze. Doesn't sound good either. That come out of it. If the fruit is set aside la ochlin, then the juices themselves have the status of ochlin, and therefore again, there's Rosh Hashanah. Remember the issue over here. What should be wrong if the juices ooze out on their own? What should be wrong with the juices? There's a concern that if we allow you to go ahead and drink those juices, you'll come to be soaked. You'll come to go ahead and squeeze the fruit. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that, again, if the fruit themselves were set aside for consumption, then, again, there's no issue that one is going to come to squeeze those fruits. However, I'm just going to from the Mishnah. However, again, the Chachamim, Yotzu Me'atzman, if they come out on their own, it's us. Rabbi Yehuda holds that everything depends on what the fruit is designated for. If it was designated for achila, then the juices are fine. If it was designated for shtia, then the juices are not fine. So the Gemara was then discussing the concept of stam. What happens if you have stam fruit, not set aside for any particular purpose, then what halacha lemaisa is the status of the juices that come out of it? So the Gemara wanted to suggest, b'savar Rabbi Yehuda stam oser, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a stam fruit, let's say again, I didn't have kavana for achila, or for juices. I didn't have kavana that I was eating it or that I was squeezing it. So the Gemara posited that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that a stam fruit is set aside essentially for squeezing purposes, and therefore the juices that would come out would be aser. So the Gemara says, is that true? V'hatan, we learned, Chalav Aisha, if a woman's milk, mitame l'ratzon v'shlo l'ratzon, has the ability, if it comes in contact with something, to allow the item to be makabel tumah. So also remember again, we know the concept is that halacha lemaisa, in order for an object to become tameh, it has to be first hukshar. It has to be receptive to tumah. The way that something becomes receptive to tumah is it first comes in contact with a liquid. So the Gemara says over here that a woman's milk, whether it came out of her intentionally or unintentionally, so whether she was, let's say, purposely expressing milk or just leaked out of her, then halacha lemaisa, if that comes in contact with a solid, with a food item, that has the ability to allow it to become mekabel tumah. However, chalav behema, when it comes to the milk of an animal, eino metame ela l'ratzon. So animal's milk only has the ability to make something hukshar l'tumah if it came out of the animal intentionally. Rabbi Kiva, and Rikiva says, no, Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? The Kal v'chomer is like this. Uma cholav ha'isha she'ino miyuchad ela lekitanim metame l'ratzom v'shlo l'ratzom. If when it comes to a woman's milk that is really only used by children, right, by infants, has the ability to be metame, to make something hukshu l'tumah, whether it comes out intentionally or unintentionally, cholav behema she'miyuchad bein lekitana bein lekidolim. When it comes to the milk of an animal that is used both by children and by adults, eino din shi'itame bein l'ratzom bein shelo l'ratzom, should it not make something hukshar l'tumah, whether it came out intentionally or unintentionally? Amrulo, they responded back to Rabbi Kiva, im tame chalav ha'isha shelo l'ratzom shedam magafasa tame. So the Gemara, they say back to Rabbi Kiva, well, maybe not, because remember that chalav isha has a different kind of, not a stringency, but another unique aspect to it, which is that dam magafasa means the blood from a wound of a woman, also goes ahead and is metame. I will say, again, that's not just blood of a woman, of a wound, that's blood of a human being. Blood of a human being is also one of the liquids that has the ability to make something hukshar l'tumah. So he said to Rabbi Kiva, Amrlo im tame chalav ha'isha shelo l'ratzon. Maybe the reason why the milk of an isha is able to make something mekabel tumah, even if you don't want it expressed, is because isha has another chumrah, which is Shedam Magafa Asatame, that her blood from a wound, literally also has the ability to act as a liquid that makes something Hoksha L'Tumah. However, Chalav Behema, when it comes to the milk of an animal, Shaloli Ratzon, perhaps again that doesn't make something Mekabel Tumah if it comes out unintentionally. Why? Shedam Magafa Satar. Because after all, the blood that comes out of an animal, let's say an animal's wounded, and then that blood splashes on something, that item does not become a Kabbal Tumah because of the blood of the animal that splashed. Now let's take a look at Rashi, a very important Rashi over here. So, Shedam Agafasa Shal Isha. In Nagaf Ragla Oyoda, if a woman, let's say, injures her foot or she injures her hand, the Chol Chabur Shetim Adam, for that matter, any injury from which blood comes out, that blood has the ability to be machshir something like kabel tuma. Kedama parak dam anida dam chalolim dahinu dam haruk karoi mashke. Right. Remember again, it's quoting the pasuk from Tehillim of dam chalolim yishte. Literally, the blood of the chalol, the blood of the corpse, they will drink. So the idea is that in Tehillim, so dam is considered to be a mashke. Dam is considered to be a liquid because of that, because it has the status of a mashke. Therefore, halacha lemaisa. What it's treated as something that allows the blood to be makabel tumah, even though of course we don't drink blood, but at the end of the day we use that pasuk to say that it has the din of a mashke, and that if it comes in contact with something, it has the ability to be makabel tumah. So just finished, Rashi finishes off and he says, dam chalolim yishta, the dam magafasom mifarish hasam, the dam chalolim havei demali katle kule. So interestingly enough, because even though Dam Chalolim sounds like it's talking about the blood of a corpse, but the Gemara says, what does it matter if it's a partial corpse or a whole corpse? What does that mean? That blood is blood is blood, the Gemara wants to suggest. And therefore, Halacha L'maisa, what they're saying about Rabbi Akiva is, maybe the reason why the Chol of Isha has the ability to make something Hoksha L'Tumah, even if it's expressed unintentionally, is why? Because again, Isha has another Chumrah, in that her blood has the ability also to be machshir something l'tumah. So the Gemara says the following. Amar lahen, Rabbi Akiva responds to them, machmir ani b'chalav mi b'dam. I'm more machmir with milk than I am with blood. Why? Shacholiv l'refua tameh, v'amakiz l'refua tahor. It's very interesting, because Rabbi Akiva says that if one expresses milk for let's say medicinal purposes, right? I will say again, the woman is engorged, so she needs to go ahead and express milk, right, in order to relieve the pain. So that milk that comes out, if it comes in contact with an item, can be machshirt for tuma. On the other hand, is makis, if a person does bloodletting for the sake of refua, that blood is tahor, that blood does not allow something to be makabel tuma. Amulo, they said to him, Zay sali zaysim va'anavim yochichu. The truth is, baskets of olives and grapes will prove this point. Why? Shamashkin hayotzi mehen l'ratzon. The juices that ooze from this are l'ratzon, right? Are in accordance with the will of the owner of these items, because that's what a person wants. A person wants the juices from the grapes and the juices from the olives. However, shamashkin hayotzi mehen l'ratzon t'mein v'shalo l'ratzon t'horin. Interestingly enough, halacha l'maisa, the only time that the mashkin that come out from the ezesim and anav, from the olives and grapes, are allowed something to be makabel tumah, is when they come out l'ratzon, in accordance with the will of the owner. But if it's shalom l'ratzon, then they don't allow something to be makabel tumah. My lav l'ratzon d'necholay, shalom l'ratzon b'stama. So now, the question is, how do we define these terms? What does it mean l'ratzon and shalom l'ratzon? So the Gemara says, do we not mean, when it says l'ratzon, in accordance with his will, d'necholay, that he wants this? And what's shalol l'ratzon? Shalol l'ratzon means stam. Stam means what they're both saying. I don't have positive das, I don't have negative das. Right? I don't say I want it, I also didn't make a declaration that I don't want it. That's what lol l'ratzon, essentially, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, lol l'ratzon simply means the absence of ratzon. So ratzon means I want the liquid. Shalol l'ratzon means I have not made any kind of positive declaration about that. So the Gemara says the following. Uma zeisim va'anavim. Now when it comes to grapes and olives, which everyone agrees are really set aside for their juices, b'nei schiton inhu, shelo l'ratzon v'lo klum. Then what do we see over here? That if halacha l'maisa, you did not have intention, right? You did not have positive intention that you wanted the juices, then halacha l'maisa, these juices are not mekabel tumah, right? These juices are not machshir l'tumah, which is another way ultimately of saying that the juices are not significant. Tusim v'rimonim. So when it comes to tusim, so tusim literally are mulberries, right? So mulberries, some of the berries. Berries and rimonim and pomegranates. They are not necessarily always set aside, that are really not considered to be fruits that are primarily used for their juices. Lokol shekein. Certainly, again, the same halacha would apply, to which the Gemara says, lo, l'ratzon bistama, shalo l'ratzon digale adaite. So the Gemara suggests no. In reality, we have to redefine our terms. L'ratzon means, what does it mean that the fruits are l'ratzon? Bistama, no explicit das. V'shalo l'ratzon, and again, not in consonance with my will, in accordance with my will, digale adaite, that I made my das known, the amar lo nechali, where I ultimately say that I do not want the juices. V'bayzema, another possibility is, shiny sali zesim v'anavim, maybe baskets of olives and grapes are different. Why? Kevan deli ibut kaimi meikara afkuri mafkialuhu. Since what Shabbos said, when the Gemara talks about baskets, so baskets by definition mean it has slats. If it has slats, so it's going to add it to all the juices that flow out of the zesim and anavim. They're going to go nowhere. So in that case, the Gemara wants to suggest maybe that's why it's lo l'ratzon, because ultimately nothing's going to collect. If nothing's going to collect, a person really never has any kind of das to hold on to these juices. Okay. Ashkechan Rabbi Yehuda demodi the rabbanan b'zeisim ba'anavim. So we'll say, so far here's what we've established. So again, just to review. Everyone agrees on the basic principle that you can't squeeze fruit l'chatchila on Shabbos. Okay? Malacha. That we agree with. Then fundamental machlokes of what happens if the juices flow out on their own. Okay? So now we have Rabbi Yehuda. So Chachamim say aser across the board. Rabbi Yehuda says everything depends on the designation of the fruit. Now, if it's for achila, then the juices are fine. If it's l'shtia, the juices are not good. Now, what we just established based on the previous sugya is that Rabbi Yehuda will agree to the Rabbanon in cases of zeisim v'anavim, in grapes and olives. What's unique about grapes and olives? That we say that stam zeisim v'anavim are primarily used for their juices. Therefore, again, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, juices that flow out of that, by definition, are aser, because those fruits are already considered to be schita-able fruits. We consider those fruits to be squeezed fruits. So Rabbi Yehuda is modded to Rabbanon zeisim v'anavim. All right? Rabbanon demodulei the Rabbi Yehuda b'shar peros minolam. But the Gemara wants us to suggest that the rabbis would be modded to Rabbi Yehuda in all other fruit. Right? Now, what does that mean? That in anything other than zeisim v'anavim, what would happen? The Rabbanon would say to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll accept your designation. Then Aloch Lamai say, if it's la'achila, then the juices that flow out of it on its own will be mutter. And if it's la'shtia, then the juices that flow out of it on its own are aser. So the Gemara says, Nabon. Where do we see that the Rabbanon are molded to Rabbi Yehuda on that particular point? Says the Gemara, this time, you'll listen to this. So chatin, one could go ahead and do schita, one could squeeze, bepagin, pagin are plums, prishin are quinces, uba'oz radin, sorb apples. Aval, okay, so you can squeeze all of these items l'chatchila on Shabbos. All of these items l'chatchila on Shabbos. Rashi says, or you look at Rashi, uba'oz radin, sorb apples, delav or chai hu bahachi, because these are, what's the common denominator between plums, quinces, and sorb apples? They're never squeezed for their juices. Okay, so now the Gemara therefore says, in this type of situation, the lavar, I'm reading Rashi, the lavar chai b'hoch is not the normal way. Therefore, ve'ein kamishum dash. There is no malach of threshing. There's no malach of threshing if what? If these items are not normally used for their juices. Aval, now we'll say, obviously, we're going to get into, not today, we're going to get into some more of the halacha lamaisa. We, of course, know that these things are going to change. Also, right? These are subjective halachos. Because we'll see that society, well, we'll see, I don't have to tell you, so we'll see. So you want to see the following. Avalo berimonim. However, you can't squeeze pomegranates. Rashi says, dar chayhu bahachi, because people squeeze pomegranates for juices. Vishal beis menashe bar menachem, hayu sochaten berimonim. But in the house of Menashe bar menachem, there they would squeeze pomegranates, right? So we'll say, what does that mean? They would squeeze pomegranates on Shabbos, right? Why? Look at Rashi. Vishal beis menashe, hayu regilin l'schot rimonim b'chol. I'm sorry. They would regularly squeeze rimonim during the week. Ama ika desachet lo hilchach b'shabbos aser. So we'll say, listen to how this Gemara flows. So you can go ahead, the Brisa says, you can squeeze your plums, your quinces, and your sorb apples, because nobody squeezes them, but you can't squeeze pomegranates. Why can't you squeeze pomegranates? Because Beis Menashe Bar Menachem, in the house of Menashe Bar Menachem, they used to squeeze pomegranates during the week. That shows what? That pomegranate is a fruit that's used for its juice, and therefore you can't use it on Shabbos. So, okay, fine. So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, what do we see from here? What we see from here is that halacha l'maisa, everything depends on how you use the pri. Right? Everything. So again, what the Bryce is saying over here is halacha l'maisa, because these three fruits of the plums, the quinces, the sorb apples are not squeezed, then halacha l'maisa, you are permitted to squeeze them on Shabbos, which would again be in accordance with the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Umimaydi Rabbanani." Now, how do you know that this keep your eye on the ball. We're trying to show that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda in other fruits other than Zeisim Ba'anav. So the Gemara wants to bring this price as a proof that the Rabbanan hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, how do you know that this price reflects the view of the Rabbanan? Domo Rabbi Yehuda hi, v'tehavi nami Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Dikamen Rabbi Yehuda." The Jews have to ask a shan Rabbi Yehuda also. Amar the Shamus say Rabbi Yehuda yatsu me'atzman. Remember, the Bris price is an incredible chiddush, because up until now, what's the only thing we've seen that Rabbi Yehuda permits? Rabbi Yehuda permits if the juices flowed out on them on their own, right? Sochtim lechatchila mishamis lei. Did Rabbi Yehuda ever permit you to actively squeeze juice out of a fruit? Rabbi, also remember, the Gemara wanted to go so far to say the price reflects the view of the Rabbana. Say, see that the Rabbana amoded to Rabbi Yehuda in shanteros not zaysim ba'anovim. The Gemara says, wait a second. How do you even know that this price is in conformance with Rabbi Yehuda? Because even Rabbi Yehuda only allows what? If the juices flow out on their own. The price is actually sanctioning the actual squeezing out of fruit on Shabbos. How did Rabbi Yehuda allow that? Ella, rather, what should you say? Since these are fruits that our mamish never squeezed for their juices, you could even do a lechatchila on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, afilu tima rabbanan, kevan delav schita ninhu, afilu lechatchila. So therefore, again, now that we're saying this, you can even say the Braisa reflects the view of the rabbanan, because even the rabbanan would agree that since these are fruits that are never squeezed, that even lechatchila you are permitted to do this on Shabbos. Shmamino rabbanan hi, shmamino. Learn now from this that this indeed is the position of the rabbanan, and indeed this is a conclusive ruling. So I will say, just don't get excited about this. So we will see what we do with this halacha l'maisa. But for our purposes right now, what the Gemara is saying is this is the brisa that shows that the Rabbanan are moded to Rabbi Yehuda in other peros other than zeisim ba'anavim. And here you have an even more extreme case, a fruit that our mamish never used for their juices, and therefore the chatchila you could be sochet them on Shabbos. So the Gemara says something very interesting. This is fascinating. Shaleis menashe ba'menachem, how you sochet in berimonis. Well, so remember the flow of the brisa. The brisa said, I can squeeze plums, quinces, sorb apples on Shabbos. Why? Because they're never squeezed for their juices. They're very okay. But not pomegranates. Why not pomegranates? Because in the house of Menashe Bar Menachem, they squeeze pomegranates during the week. That shows that pomegranates is a fruit that's used for its juice. And therefore, you may not be soaking it on Shabbos. Look, the Gemara has such an interesting question. The Gemara says, Amali Rav Rav Nachman, Menashe Bar Menachem Tanuhu, who the heck is Menashe Bar Menachem, right? You know, we'll have to re-edit that, right? So what is Menashe Bar Menachem doing over here, right? Where does he come into this discussion? So the Gemara says, Menashe Bar Menachem Tano literally means, is Menashe Bar Menachem Tano? Meaning, where does he come into this discussion? You almost put him in here like another opinion. The only people who are part of this argument are the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Why is Menashe Bar Menachem coming into this? So Gemara says, "V'chi tema halacha ki haytana." Maybe what you want to say is the halacha follows the Tana, who says the sovrla kisham Menashe Bar Menachem. No, so the Gemara is suggesting. No, the Gemara is not bringing in Menashe Bar Menachem as a Tana, as a disputant. The Gemara is saying there is a Tana, and the Tana is recording or is quoting the practice of the home of Menashe Bar Menachem. But the Gemara says, who cares? Umishum disavar ki Menashe Bar Menachem halacha kimoso, and because this Tana holds like Menashe Bar Menachem, the halacha is going to follow him. Menashe Bar Menachem havi ruba da'amo? So we're asked such an interesting question. So let me get this straight. Because in the house of Menashe Bar Menachem, right? So who knows? Maybe Menashe Bar Menachem was on some kind of pomegranate diet. So because now he's on a pomegranate diet and he's squeezing pomegranates, suddenly that's my problem. Right? Suddenly, again, because he squeezes pomegranates, that makes pomegranates a squeeze of fruit. That was what the Gemara was asking. What the Gemara is asking is that's not the way halacha works. Meaning we establish norms, and norms are not based on the practices of one. So what does that mean? Let's say in Menashe Ba Menachem's second cousin twice removed, he squeezed the plums, right? So what does that mean? Now plums is a squeezable fruit also. See what the Gemara is asking? What's going on over here? So the Gemara says again, this lashon of Menashe Ba Menachem, Havi Rupa Daam. It's exciting. I'm seeing right. It's exciting. He got a headline. So he was asking.
Maybe he was a Tana.
It doesn't matter. They're not quoting him as a Tana. That's the point the Gemara is making. They're quoting him as someone who did something. So and even if he is a Tana, so why should his view carry any more weight than the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara said the following. And just for the record, Menashe Menachem is not a Tana. He's not a Tana. Historically, he's not a Tana. So that's even why this question is strengthened. So the Gemara says, Menashe ben Menachem havi ruba da'alma, but was Menashe ben Menachem, was he the majority of the world? To which the Gemara says, actually he is. This nan, listen to this. Now you'll see what it means when it says he is. So the Gemara says, this nan, look at Rashi for just a moment. So the Gemara says, ruba da'alma, mishum ihu l'chudei, nishavei derech imonu l'schita, that because of his actions, we should now assume that pomegranates are a squeezable fruit. So Gemara says, yes, what does that mean? Yes, this nan. Hamakayim kotsim bekerem. If one goes ahead and plants kotsim, are like thorns or thistles, in a vineyard, so we'll say now the shayla is kloya kerem. Right, so the question is, we know we can't plant two different species in a vineyard. So the shayla over here is, what happens if one goes ahead and plants these thorns or these thistles in a vineyard? What's the status of kloya kerem? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kodesh. Rabbi Lez says Kodesh. Now, what does that mean, Kodesh? In this case, it doesn't mean a good thing. Kodesh means over here, remember, Kodesh means set aside. Right? And that means, Koyakim, you've got a big problem. Right? Kidesh. The Chachamim Omrim, Eino Mikadesh. No, it's not true. It's not Koyakim. Ela Dover Shekamahu Mikaimin. This is actually very interesting. The only thing that creates an issue of Koyakim is something that people normally go ahead and sustain. People that normally go ahead and grow. So the Gemara says, and therefore the Chachamim will suggest that thistles, right, and thorns are not something that people normally plant. Right, those are things that usually sprout up. But since people don't normally plant it, therefore it will not create a Kloy HaKerem issue. Listen to this. So here's what's interesting. So the question, of course, becomes, Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's Kiddush. Rabbi Eliezer holds that thistles or thorns in the vineyard do in fact create a Kloy HaKerem. Remember, Kloy HaKerem means mixing species within a vineyard, do create a real problem. Now, I will say, the assumption is they're not really arguing about the underlying principle. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that in order to be high for Kloy HaKerem, the second species, has to be something that people normally plant and sustain. So then why does he say that planting the thorns is a problem? Listen to this. Shekein ba'aravya mekaimim kotsei sados ligmalayan. Because in Arabia, they do plant thorns and thistles for their camels. Apparently, camels eat thorns and thistles. So in Arabia, they plant this for their camels. Therefore, it's what? Therefore, it's considered to be a species that people do, in fact, plant. So we'll say, why is the Gemara bringing this up? Besides that, it's just interesting. Why is the Gemara bringing it up? Because what do you see from here? That even though we don't consider it to be thorns and thistles, to be the type of min that a person would normally plant, since it's what? Since it's done elsewhere, right, somewhere, that halach lemaisa makes it a significant min, and therefore it even make you chayv in kloy akerem. And therefore the Gemara is using this to say, therefore when Menashe bar Menachem went ahead and squeezed pomegranates, that makes pomegranates into a squeezable pre. To which the Gemara says, come on. Midi iria, the Aravya Asra, Hacha Batla Daito Itzakha Adam. The Gemara says, how can you compare that? That's pomegranates and plums, right? Right? How can you compare those two? After all, Arabia is a place. Right? So what you're telling me is, okay, there is a specific geographic minagamokum. I understand that. So if you tell me that everybody in Arabia is planting thorns and thistles to feed their camels, I understand then why that becomes a norm. And you can even make this suggestion, you can even posit that that norm would carry over even into locales where people are not planting thorns. But Menashe Ba Menachem is one person. Rabbi will say, again, Haloch Lamaisa, when one person engages in activities that seem to be outside of the norm, we don't say that the individual creates the norm. Instead, what do we say? Batla Daito Eitzel Kol Adam. The individual does not create the norm. The individual is subsumed by the norm. So Menashe Bar Menachem's behavior should be considered to be the halachic outlier, and in fact should not create a halachic reality. Rather, this is the reason of Rav Chisda. The Amr Rav Chisda, I will say again, remember, Rav Chisda was the one who said that halacha lemaisa, even now, the pomegranates. The pomegranates we don't squeeze because of Menashe Bar Menachem. So what's the logic of Rav Chisda? Behind the time of Rav Chisda, the Amr Rav Chisda, Tradin Shesachdan, V'nasnan B'mikvah, Poslan Es HaMikvah B'Shinoi Mareh. Rav Chisda said like this, if you have tradin are beets, if you have beets that you squeezed, and now you took the juice and you put it in a mikvah, Poslan Es HaMikvah B'Shinoi Mareh, they could invalidate the mikvah by changing the appearance of the water. And Rabbi said, this is very important over here. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says the following. B'shinei mara, lo b'shloshes lugin, zelo huskiru shloshes lugin, ele b'mayim shu'uvin, aval sharmashkin lo pasli, ele imkei nishtana maras ha-mikvah ayedin. So we'll say, listen to this. There are two ways that you can invalidate a mikvah. You can invalidate a mikvah with three lug of mayim shu'uvin, of drawn water. Mikvah has to be rainwater. If you introduce three lug of drawn water, mayim shu'uvin, that invalidates the mikvah. Other liquids could go ahead and invalidate the mikvah only with shinui mara, only by changing the coloring, by changing the appearance of the water. So if you introduce enough beet juice into the mikvah to change the color of the water, that invalidates the mikvah. But the Gemara says, one second, v'hai v'ha lav b'nei schita ninu. But beets are not considered to be schita, well, they're not usually fruits, they're not a food item that is squeezed for its juice. The Rabbi said, what's interesting about this is the following. The only thing that invalidates a mikvah is what? Is a liquid. So the shaila now is, remember, going back to what we said before, if a fruit is not normally squeezed for its juices, then what is the status of its juice? The status of its juice is an ochel, is a food item, not a liquid. So if beets are not normally squeezed for their juice, then the juice that comes out of it should not be considered a juice, it should be considered a food. Food is not does not invalidate a mikvah. Rather, what should we say? Rather, what's the answer? The answer must be that since Rabbi said, when I squeeze the beet, so obviously, what's my kavana? What's my kavana? My kavana is that I want the juice. Once I want the juice, then what does that do? That gives it the status of a liquid. Therefore, what do we see from here? Therefore, what do we see? It's the same idea. It's the same idea by the Rimonim of Beis Menashe Bar Menachem. The idea is Ein Achinami. The Gemara is not necessarily suggesting the idea that every single time you squeeze a pomegranate, then halacha lemaisa you'll go ahead and that's schita. But the Gemara is saying is like this: anytime you squeeze anything, and you want the juice, by definition, what you are doing is you are endowing that liquid with mashke identity. So it could be problematic for a mikvah. It could be problematic for Shabbos. So according to this approach, what the Braisa was saying before is that in the home of Menashe Bar Menachem, they would squeeze pomegranates. The Gemara is not therefore suggesting that pomegranates therefore are a fruit that's used for a juice because one person did it. Rather, what the Braisa is saying is what? That if you choose to take a fruit, even if people don't normally use it for its juice, but you want the juice, then what? Then for you, that liquid will become a juice. Even though for you it might be a juice, for me, if the liquid oozes out of that liquid might have the status of ochel, but I have the ability to endow that liquid with the mashke identity if I want the mashke. We'll say that would stand then, and let's say something contradistinction to Zeseh Ba'anovim. So the Chiddush of Zeseh Ba'anovim would be that no matter what your kavana is, those liquids always have the status of juice. But for other fruit, it would depend on the machshava of the person who wants the fruit.
You shouldn't have been able to squeeze the quinces on Shabbos.
Inachinami. So you'd have to say that in that case over here, of the squeezing of the quinces, you'd have to say that according to that individual, they still see the liquids as an ochel. How that is, Barshatlant, we're going to see in the Gemara. Hachinami, kevin achshir havlo mashka. Rav Papa amr mishum, so we'll say now we're getting back to the mikvah case. Now you know why the beet juice is problematic for the mikvah? Because beet juice is something that you can't make a mikvah from, right? Meaning you can't make a beet mikvah. Right? You can't use beet juice as waters for mikvah. And anything ultimately that you cannot make a mikvah from, that cannot be used for the waters of a mikvah, invalidates the mikvah if it changes the appearance of the water. Tanan hasam, we learn there. If wine falls into the mikvah, vinegar falls into the mikvah, umochal. Well, mochal is very interesting. Mochal literally means olive water. Rashi points out here something fascinating. Rashi says, we're not going to go through it now just because of time, but Rashi points out that there was liquid that used to ooze out of the olives. Right? When the olives were next to each other, even before they were pressed, the olives being in close proximity to each other generate heat. And there are different things that ooze out of the olives that are not considered olive oil. They're considered different mashke. And in fact, Rashi points out that the first thing that would ooze out of the olives was actually a clear, almost water-like liquid. Just water-like moisture that would ooze out of the olives. That's the thing I was referring to as mochel. There are three different oozings that came out of the olives at different stages in the olive preparation that were not considered oil. So yayin, chometz, mochel, so wine, vinegar, mochel, this olive juice, this olive water that falls into the mikvah, v'shina marav, and changes the appearance of the mikvah. Apostle, it invalidates the mikvah. Man tana de mochel mashku, so is the opinion who holds that this olive water is considered to be a mashke. Rabbi Yaakov, it's Rabbi Yaakov, this sanya, Rabbi Yaakov omer, mochel harihu kimashke. Mochel is like a mashke, like a liquid. Umatam amru, mochel hayotzi b'tchila tahor. Aye, if that's the case, Rabbi, then why is it that we said that when mochel first comes out of the olives, it's tahor? Now, what does tahor mean? Tahor means that it doesn't have the ability to be machshir something l'tumah. Right? Remember again that halacha l'maaseh, in order for something to be mekabel tumah, it has to first come in contact with a liquid. The Gemara suggests that this first issuing forth of olive water does not make something mekabel tumah. The fish knows to be kumo. That's different because a person doesn't care about it. Any mashke that a person doesn't care about enough to sustain it, to keep it in existence, is not machshir l'tumah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, mochel ino kamashke. Rabbi Shimon says, no, this mochel, this olive water, is not like a mashke. Umatam amru mochel hayotzi mi ikul beis habat tamei. So why is it that we said that the mochel, the olive water that comes out, ikul beis habat literally means the netting of the olive press, is tamei. Lefi shi'i ef shalo below tzichtzuche shemen. Ah, because the difference is what? There's no such thing as olive water that doesn't have a little bit of olive oil in it. So because of that, it has a quasi-status of olive oil, and therefore, aloch ma'is will machshir l'tumah. Ma'i b'nayu, what's the practical difference between them? Ika b'nayu da'asi basar itzisa. What happens with that which comes, what's itzisa? Look at Rashi Bosai. Da'asi basar itzisa, la'achar she'eschilu l'ischamim, v'doch kuze'ezeh, v'nishtaher ha'kvishtaher komer yomim. The independent achlokis, the nafkamina would be between them would be, in the case of the mohel, that goes ahead and issues forth from the olives after they've been in the vat already for a while, that in that particular situation it would be clear that halacha l'maaseh there's definitely more olive oil mixed in there. So according to the second opinion, it would be machshir l'tumah, whereas according to the first, it still would not, because according to the first opinion, a person would still not be rotzeh b'kiyumah. Rava Amar Mishum, d'havedavar she'en osehem eno mikvah, upos asa mikvah b'shinoi mara. Rava says again, that the reason it invalidates a mikvah is because, again, it's something that you can't make a mikvah from, and therefore anything you can't make a mikvah from invalidates the mikvah if it changes the appearance. Amar Avihud Amar Shmuel. Okay, we'll say back to Schita. Sochet Adam Eshkol Shalanav Masocha Kedir. We'll say now this is a fascinating sugya, which will begin today and in Mirat Hashem continue tomorrow. So, Rabbi Yehuda says in Mishmuel, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shalanav Masocha Kedir. A person squeezes a cluster of grapes into a kedera. Kedera is a pot of food. Avalola socha kara. But not into a bowl. Not into a bowl. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Lasocha kedera. Shel tavshil. Litakno. So we'll say you could squeeze grapes into a pot of food because you want to use it as an ingredient. Demuchacha milsa. Delav lemashke boile. Ela laochlan. Ve'ein zed derech prikosav avikimafrit ocha meoch. So we'll say, listen, this is quite fascinating. The point that everybody agrees with is that if the liquid that comes out of the fruit is treated as a food and not as a liquid, that technically speaking there should be no schita problem with that. Because schita is only the act of removing liquid from a solid mass. But if you're removing a liquid that really doesn't have the status liquids used as a food, then halacha l'maaseh it should be fine. Therefore, Rava makes the following suggestion. Rabbi Yehuda, name of Shmuel, that I could squeeze grapes into a pot of food. Because in essence, what am I doing? I'm using liquid not as a liquid. What am I using it? As an ingredient for my pot of food. Therefore, the liquid has the status of ochel, and therefore, once it's ochel, there's no problem of schita. However, but you can't go ahead and squeeze it into a bowl. Why can't you squeeze it into a bowl? So Rashi points out over here, because by squeezing it into a bowl, it still has the appearance of a mashke. All right, so you know what? We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up. So I just want to leave you with the halacha, because this introduces us to a brand new, exciting sugya, which we'll have the schuz to do in Shushan Purim. Shkoyach.